All right, Dad, that gets us to the 5 at 5, brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. It is Tech in Georgia coming up on Saturday. Jeff, it is time for your opening statement. Dogs and Jackets, keys to the game for Georgia.
For Georgia to win this game, Chris, the Bulldogs, number one, you have to get penetration up front and play assignment football. We've had some problems with over pursuit. You do that against these guys, they'll kill you. We've been on some trick plays, really, 3 of the last 4 weeks. You know, luckily, Florida and Auburn didn't burn us on them because we got enough of a rush on there. And also, Florida, Franks just missed the open receiver there. But the linebackers, the secondary, everybody has to play their assignment. And remember, the few times they do throw, they usually have success going down the field. So the defense, you have to play assignment football. You're going to have to create some turnovers. On offense, you got to capitalize, but at the same time, you got to be patient. You know, where you can get in trouble against Tech is if they go down and have an 8-minute scoring drive, then you get the ball and feel like you got to score right away. Then all of a sudden, you're 3 and out and you punt to them, you don't get the ball again to the next quarter. So you have to capitalize, you have to stay patient. I think Georgia has to dominate the special teams, you know, no STDs. You know, Rod's got to hit the kicks when Georgia does punt. We got to do a good job punting. Obviously, in the return game and the coverage, we got to do that. We need a loud Sanford Stadium. And Georgia's players have just flat out got to want it more. I've shared a couple of pictures of Tech on their last two trips here, ripping up pieces of the hedge, walking around with them. So, you know, Georgia's fans, Georgia's players have flat out got to want it more. And that starts with winning this game at the line of scrimmage.
One thing Tech's offense has always been good at, even with that triple option, is they hit big plays. And they're 13th in the country this year in plays of 20 or more yards. However, you know what defense is first, giving up the fewest big plays of 20 or more yards? I'll give you a hint. It starts with Georgia.
Now you're talking.
So
it ain't Georgia State.
Oh, it's not Georgia State, who the Dogs basketball team might play tomorrow in the Cayman Islands.
Well, you know, you figure 70 miles to the west, 70 miles to the east, play them both in the Cayman Islands.
Yeah, let's just get together in the Cayman Islands and play instead of scheduling those. I'll repeat what I said at the beginning of the show, too, as far as an opening statement to put your mind at ease. All that this program's accomplished in the last 2 years now, the work that Kirby's done on the recruiting trail to become just, one of the premier coaches in the country in a very short period of time. Is his record against Tech going to be 1-2? Think about that and say it out loud.
I'd rather not.
Yeah, well, the answer is no. You know, you think of what Kirby's done the last 2 years. We're going to go to back-to-back SEC title games. We won last year's. Hopefully we'll win this year's too. Played for the national championship last year. Last two signing classes have been ranked 1-2, right? Okay.
1-3.
Yeah. All right, 1-3.
Yeah.
All right, like a meet and three.
Yeah.
A 1-3.
Yeah.
So all that, he's going to have a 1-2 record against Tech? No. Come on, that doesn't sound right.
This team, a 100% DeAndre Swift has made a huge difference in this team.
Because it really has, yeah.
Some of those numbers that you were pointing out, Chris, Georgia's struggles on third down, we've seen, and again, knock on wood here, we've seen, you know, the pass protection get better. We've seen, because like you said, that threat for Georgia to run on any down now. And, I mean, with that, with what Swift can do, that's made Holyfield better too. I mean, he is a tremendous back.
Well, what's made him like even more dangerous is just a completely different style guy where, you know, you're going to get punished. Although one thing I like about Swift, as elusive as he is, I mean, that guy will lower his shoulder and just run right into a tackler
too. Big time.
In fact, I mean, there's sometimes he'll like lower his shoulder and go with the boom, and I'm kind of like, hey, why don't you just try and like wiggle around him?
Nah, I'd rather just come with a hit.
And then you've just got, you know, Holyfield coming at you too.
No, he's a bruiser. And I'm going to tell you too, just for the future, we saw some glimpses of him last week and against Vanderbilt at the end. And Harrion's really good back too. But I mean, Cook has got some wow factor, balance, moves, and speed.
Right. Last year, Akeel Crumpton had a long touchdown catch in this game. Who is who will be the most odd touchdown scorer against them Saturday? You know, are we going to be blowing them out and just try and mix in? Like,
now, I think this is a game where you got to have your guys be guys. But I'll give you one. I think my man number 89, Charlie Werner, could get in there. You know, okay. The way that the tight ends are blocking, maybe do the old tight end sneak, have him block, then release. That should be there.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, too, this is a thing. Georgia works on Tech every week. Listen, Kirby lost his last game at Sanford Stadium to Tech in 1998. We were leading 19-7. And that was also, like in 08, a chance to beat them 8 straight and equal the drought. And it didn't happen. Joe Hamilton fumbled. They didn't call it. And, you know, with the way, you know, his first year, the thing is, we were playing good football at the end of Kirby's first year. You know, we had beaten Kentucky. We beat Auburn. Yeah. And, you know, we were winning. It was 27-14, but it got away. The one thing I'll say about that, if we win and the way Tech made, I'm not sure Chubb and Michelle come back if we win that game.
Well, I remember, like, Marshall made a big play. We got the ball at midfield. I guess he recovered a fumble, and then we didn't move.
Right.
We were up by 2 touchdowns at that point.
Then we punted to him, yeah. And it was – well, you know, it's something else. We were up 24-14. We hit a long pass down the middle. They made a shoestring tackle, and we wind up kicking a field goal.
Yeah.
So it's like, 27-14, and you just – boy, at 31-14, you feel like you would have had it. But, you know, with the way that went down, you know, it's a bitter, painful loss. But you don't know if things play out the way they did. But certainly, I mean, what we've done starting with Appalachian State in 2017, I mean, Georgia's obviously been one of the 3 or 4 best teams in the country.
Well, we've lost 3 games, Auburn, Bama, and LSU. And we've signed 2
yes.
Great elite classes.
Elite. I mean,
so we've lost to Auburn. We've lost to Bama. We've lost to LSU. It's like, we're going to lose to Tech, too. Is Tech going to join that group? Like, no, come on.
Well, here's another thing, too. You got to win your home state, and you got to win at home. And Georgia can check off both of those boxes Saturday.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. We have not lost a game now in Sanford Stadium in
since Tech.
2 seasons. So,
and by the way, that would be, I mean, back-to-back undefeated at home.
The only thing Kirby hasn't been able to get rid of is the annual blowout.
Yeah.
So.
Well, if we win the rest of – hey, if we go 14-1, I'll take that.
I'll take it, too. It's just weird. Like,
it's weird.
We're still – you know, we're not just – but although if we are going to lose a game every year, maybe it is just better to get blown out like we have instead of, like, losing by, like, 1 or 2 points.
And, yeah, psychologically.
Yeah. You just wring it all out of your system. You mentioned Hot Rod need to make all his kicks on – hopefully they're all extra points.
Let's hope so. About 8 of them.
He is not one of the finalists for the Lou the Toe Groza Award, Jeff. Is that the greatest trophy oversight since Gino Toretto won the Heisman Trophy?
I certainly feel like it's a snub there, and I get it. The other 3 kickers are really good. I'm betting that Cole Tracy's going to win it. But, you know, that's another thing. Hot Rod, he's got to have his focus. Now – you know, he can't be coming out worried about that. What he needs to do is come out and show everybody that they were wrong, but not try and do too much. I remember back in 91, Ron Gant got snubbed from the All-Star team. You know what he did that night? He went out and hit 2 home runs.
Yeah, well, you know, bringing up the Braves, I'm thinking just this past season at the trade deadline, Atlanta picked up that guy Adam Duvall from
yes,
the Reds, and,
yes.
And all of a sudden it was like, well, Ender Inciarte is going to be platoon with them. Ender went out and went 5 for 5 in that game.
There you go. The
day they traded for Adam Duvall. So, yeah, hopefully Hot Rod will he'll take it to – you know who's dead to me now? Lou the Toe Groza.
Lou the Toe Groza.
Yeah, I don't know how he – although the kid who won it last year is also not a finalist this year. Utah's kicker, I think, won it last year.
And I think – is there a guy from Wyoming who's a finalist also?
And then Syracuse kicker.
Syracuse's kicker.
And then Cole Tracy.
Tracy will win it. He should win it.
Well, no,
he
Hot Rod should win it.
Those are the 2 best guys.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know how Rod's not a finalist.
I don't – plus, I mean, just his touchback percentage. I don't want to sit here and we got – you know, but –
I mean, Tracy missed that kick against Bama.
Yeah, he did.
I'm not sure why he was out there kicking it. They were getting shut out, but
trying to get on the board.
He missed it. Jeff, all right, the games this weekend, rivalry weekend, where do you see the best chance for an upset? And I will not let you say Ohio State, who are technically an underdog, yeah. So if they won, it would be an upset. But you can't say them over Michigan.
I was hoping you would say not here.
Well, if you want to say that.
I mean, Tech is a dangerous team. They've won 6 out of 7, and they've won here the last 2 times they've played.
We're pretty dangerous.
I agree.
We've won 6 out of 7, haven't we?
Yeah, we've won 10 out of 11.
Exactly.
in Michigan, Ohio State. I mean, come on, let's face it. That's not a. I just feel like Michigan deserves to win that game the way everything's been trending.
I know you're going to have to keep reminding me that I've been saying for a month Michigan's going
to
win.
Stay on Michigan. Don't back off.
Okay.
Have
you seen Urban Meyer's record as an underdog?
Don't back off. They're trending down. He's going to be out.
Maybe Michigan wins by 3, though, and I get the cover.
Nah, don't do that. Take Michigan. Does USC have any chance against Notre Dame? I have a heart, even though it's out west.
No, but did Lynn Swann come out today and say Clay Helton is coming back?
Let me tell you this. I got some scoop. I got some scoop from my buddy Scott, who says they've got a couple of – he's got some intel that they've got a couple of potential lawsuit things coming out there, and they might be tight on money right now. So I don't know.
Oh, USC does.
Yes.
Okay. Well, apparently, like, James Franklin's name has already popped up there.
Well, he's not going to leave Penn State.
For USC?
No. No. I think they'd go after, like, Jack Del Rio.
What about Jeff Fisher?
I thought about that, too. Apparently, he doesn't like recruiting. I'm like, well, he doesn't like quarterbacks.
He doesn't like coaching quarterbacks either, yeah. Because I think, like, 4 of them that he coached last year were in the conference title games. Or maybe it was 2 of them. He had Nick Foles and Case Keenum.
Yes.
And, of course, Jared Goff turned out to be he's pretty good now.
Oh, my gosh.
Whew. He's real good. All right, moving on in the 5 at 5, Jeff. Oh, so wait, what did you say? Rivalry best chance of an upset? What about the Apple Cup? I feel like, I mean, Washington has really owned that series.
I think this is Wazoo's year. I think West Virginia's going to beat Oklahoma.
I do, too. Although, I have to point out to you, West Virginia's favored. Yeah.
Okay.
So we don't want to do that.
No.
I always like when announcers say, I'm going to call for the big upset there.
Well, they're actually favored.
Yeah.
You know what's
by a touchdown.
Were you surprised that A&M's favored over LSU?
Kind of, yeah.
I was, too.
You think that's one, then?
You know, they haven't beaten.
Is that a major rivalry?
Yeah, I'll take LSU there. But, yeah, like A&M hasn't beaten LSU since they came in the league.
I'm sort of feeling like Florida State might get the Gators.
But that'd be a bad loss for Dan Mullen. So I guess on that end, it's go Florida State. But I want them to have their bowl string come to an end.
I do too, because I don't like Florida State. Then again, I don't like Florida. So
no.
I don't know what to do there. But I mean, the thing with Florida State last week when they were able to beat Boston College, I mean, say this for Willie Taggart and that team. They haven't just surrendered. Like last year's team with Jimbo Fisher, there was a ton of stuff going on there. And, as we saw as Jimbo left, but, you know, they haven't quit. So,
well, here's the other thing, too, with Florida State, like you were saying. I mean, now you have to look at this. Their win over Boston College, that's one of the big upsets in the ACC this season.
Yeah, well, and it kept them alive with a chance to play this weekend to get bowl eligible. So if they went through all the trouble to beat BC last week,
right?
I think you're going to get a highly motivated team Saturday.
No, I agree with you. I'm trying to pull up a couple of these lines here, but I this definitely does feel like one. Like it would be a bad loss to Florida. And listen, this is something we were talking about before the year because you had the unique situation with Mullen, Pruitt, and Taggart, you know, 3 schools right here around us, and the Gators play them both, all with first-year coaches. So if you do lose, you can't use the old, well, you know, it's his first year, he's building.
I wouldn't mind Florida's first-year head coach ending his first year with losses to Georgia, Florida State, and also a 32-year run against Kentucky coming to an end.
And Missouri.
Missouri.
Beating about 20-plus for a second straight year.
Yeah. Oh, well, we won twice as many games as we did the year before.
Good.
All right.
Good.
Yeah.
No, it actually does, even though we recruit heavily against them too. It behooves Georgia for Florida State to be good. You know, for years and years, we always, the way things used to be, it was good for Georgia if Alabama was good.
Yeah.
Because of Auburn.
Right.
But I think we've moved past that now.
All right, 1 week left. Is it settled, or do we have to wait until the outcomes of these games? What will the SEC championship game undercard be? I like South Carolina scheduled Akron for that day, but don't think you can get out of the hook. Yeah.
If Florida loses to Florida State, could the Gators be in it?
Yeah.
It's not Arkansas.
They would finish. They'd be 8-4 then, but they would have lost to us, Florida State, their two biggest rivals, and then also have a three-decade reign over Kentucky come to an end.
I still lean South Carolina. I mean, Arkansas, to me, they're just terrible. So I don't think it's them. I mean, if Bama beats Auburn, it's got to be Auburn,
I think,
right?
It's Auburn.
To go, because if Bama beats them, Auburn wind up 7-5, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you go from preseason top 10, and also after beating Georgia and Alabama, you know, obviously they lost to the Dogs and lost to Central Florida. That would put them at 7-7.
Well, they did open this season with a win over Washington.
Correct.
So,
I mean, I would think Auburn from the West. And, yeah, even if Tennessee lost to Vandy, I mean, they beat Auburn and beat Kentucky.
Yeah, I think Tennessee is.
So, I think it's.
They'll feel mostly good about the year.
I think it's the 2010 SEC title game, but this time it's an undercard. So, South Carolina versus Auburn. Unless Florida loses to Florida State.
All right. But Florida did beat South Carolina, so does that give the Gamecocks the tiebreak?
Yeah, but boy, if the Gators, let's say 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, lose six straight to the Noles,
yeah.
Both with first year. And let's face it, earlier this year, Florida State, when we were doing our playoff undercard, they looked like one of the four worst teams in America.
Yeah, but they've.
Yeah, they've bounced back.
Yeah.
You got to give them some credit.
Yeah, but the Gators, thinking about how much momentum they had going into the game against us, because they had beaten State and LSU.
Oh, they were playing great.
And then since then, though, we got them, blown out by Missouri, and then, they haven't lost to them yet, but if they do.
I still think Florida's going to win, though. What's that number? Is it
5.5.
I think Florida's going to win. They got the better team.
All right. Well, we'll see.
The thing about Florida, too, you have to be – when you look at their offense, I mean, the dog games they've played, like Charleston Southern and Idaho. I mean,
yeah, they've played two FCS.
I mean, they've put up – they scored 63 last week, and I think they scored 53 against Charleston Southern. So
really, they only have six wins.
You look at those offensive numbers –
yeah, if you take those two games out of
it. Yes, it's skewed. So what did they score against Kentucky? What was it, 16? Was that 27-16?
It sounds right,
yeah. Because they were going for two to make it 21-18. Got 17 against us. They did get 27 against LSU with a pick six. You know, scored 13 at Mississippi State. Scored 17 against Missouri.
And they put up 35 against the Gamecocks.
Okay.
Yeah. And 37 against Vandy.
All right, so there you go.
And 47 against Tennessee.
So they've had three big ones. And, of course, Tennessee gave them a slew of turnovers. So they've had three big ones and five where they've been under 20, basically.
All right, Jeff, wrapping up the 5 at 5, Friday when we're at the UGA bookstore from 4 until 6. We will be working on Friday. That Tiger Phil pay-per-view is actually starting at 3 Eastern, which is good because then I don't think I would pay for
it. No, you wouldn't.
But if I was, I would.
You wouldn't.
Who do we got, Tiger or Phil?
Tiger's playing better now. I mean,
neither one of them have played for a while.
No, and it's like we've seen these guys play, I mean, since the early to mid-1990s.
We wanted to see this like a decade ago.
Yeah, like at Augusta.
Yeah.
Or at the British Open.
Right.
I mean, these are just two. I mean, this like, would you have paid for in 1992 for MJ and Larry Bird to have a free throw shooting contest? I mean,
I might have, actually.
I just don't think it's that big a deal.
Yeah, but I can't believe – I thought they would just do it, but it is a pay-per-view, although it's only like $9 or something. But who do you like? Oh, you said Tiger.
I'll take Tiger. What do you say?
I think Phil's going to win. I'll tell you why next.
Is the fix in already?
Well, because Phil is a guy who's a degenerate gambler.
Big time.
You know, so he probably would be more into this kind of thing, I mean, than Tiger might be.
They both have their weaknesses.
Yeah.
We know what Tiger's is.
But I think Phil's is more of a strength in a deal like this than a weakness. Phil's weakness is more of a strength when it comes to playing a guy for $9 million in a match of golf.
Now, is this a winner-take-all deal?
I believe so, yeah.
Wow.
I'm sure, you know, there's probably – they're both walk away with something.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
They at least paid for their hotel.
Yeah. That's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.